mind to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, I'm going to begin my reading this afternoon, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, before thee touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee that thou be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Verse number 21. "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, and having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said unto with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these bonds. Jesus, I thank you today for the privilege, the opportunity we have to come into your house. God, how you ministered and you manifested in song, and how you touched our hearts. You spoke to us today. God, help us to take it to heart. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive at this time your word. We give you praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a subject whose impact in this physical world carries within it more of a magnitude of force than that of the explosion of Mount St. Helens had generated in the years gone by. My subject today is one that affects the lives of the rich and the poor, the young and the old. And what you'll discover at the end of this, my message, and what you most likely will agree with me on, is the fact that this topic of discussion is one that finds its way into our lives, starting with the young toddlers as they play in the sandbox, to the aging and to the retired. And it is a force that, which if left unchecked, will continue to be that which winds its way into the hearts and into the minds of all who fall under its power. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message I have titled, The Power of Influence. The Power of Influence. I want you to know that the power of influence is one of the most forceful weapons that has ever been placed into the hands, into the hearts, and into the minds of humanity. Influence is a weapon that, when used in the negative, has within it the power to sway the opinion, the belief, the point of view, the convictions, as well as the very essence of the faith of those that this weapon is unleashed upon. Every child grows up as they grow up, this force brings about within them an even greater impact and a stronghold in their lives than that in the lives of the high school student or the college, the career-minded entrepreneur. And the reason is because as this force is what now becomes secure in their young minds. And as they who get into their older years, the power of influence is which often refuses to let go of its grip upon their lives, because it's been in their lives for a great number of years that they were under it. You take a child from a young age and you begin to train them in a certain fashion with certain things. And maybe if you go through your family and you teach them traditions, you teach them values in your life, and they grow up with this. It's just like a child who grows up with a Christian home, and they every meal they pray before their dinner, and if they every time they go to bed they say a prayer, and before they go to school, mom or dad or both of them stops and prays with them when they make their way to school, and then they go into the restaurant, and there again the children see as their parents bow their heads and everybody stops for a moment to give God thanks for what they receive. If you keep doing this over time, it'll be that which becomes ingrained in them. It'll become that which causes them in their life to never forget what was planted in a mind that started so young and became one as they grew older and became old. The music world years ago tapped into the power of influence, and ever since this world did such, people of every age bracket have been affected by both the power and the in-depth inducing spirit of music. Music can make you laugh and it can make you cry. Music can cause you to feel love, and at the same time, music can cause you to feel jealousy and hatred. But then came the power of the television and that of the movie screens, and then today the power of the means of media. Media itself has that power and that influence which sways the hearts and the minds of people. You read the papers and you look at the headlines on magazines, and people, their thoughts and their fashions and their ideals and their in-depth growth purposes and who they want to be acting like and become. I go back into a day when it was in the early 1970s, mid-70s, and there was a show called The $6 Million Man, and there's a woman whose name was Farrah Fawcett Majors. Now, maybe none of you will know that. But she had a hairstyle, and she had a pattern, and people wanted to dress like her. And along came a princess by the first name of Diana. I want to dress like her. I want to look like her. And these influences, from what I see and from what I read and the things that I consume into my soul, is what influences me to be what maybe they are one day, to become what they have in their lives have become. The word influence refers to the act or the action or the result that is caused and is one that brings about its effect upon a person. Influence equals control. Influence is what carries weight. Influence bears authority. Influence is what sways, manipulates, and is that which impacts the lives of those under its power. And in fact, influence is what wins over. Influence is what inspires, and it changes, and is what has the ability, hear me now, it has the ability to shape the thoughts of the minds of those who yield to its effect. I can control you with influence. I could manipulate how you act and think with influence. Now, whether you realize it or not, everyone in their lives, including you, exerts a form of influence on somebody else, whether it's for good or whether it's for bad. Really? Uh-huh. Come on now. Do it. If you don't do it, we're not going to play with you. Don't be such a sissy. Come on, Christian or not. You can do what you want. You with us or not? Huh? What? Come on. Come on, do it. You ever been forced into a dare? Yeah, many times. One in a swimming pool, once in a cigarette, once into the drug world. I was influenced. In the life of the child of God and their years of early influence, you could say that influence that they succumb to can help to end up affecting them, if not for years, then possibly for the remainder of their lives. What started now could have repercussions, like you take a rock and you throw it into a lake and the ripples keep going and going and going, and so does influence. I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that influence, there's not one of us today who have not at one time or another felt the effects to what I'm talking to you about today. The power of influence. I felt it. I've lived it. I know what the preacher's talking about today. And in view of our day, when you think about things like computer, how many people are they in their 21st century today that spend a lot of time, if not the majority of their time, their free time in front of a computer? Well, then if not a computer, how about North America's babysitter, known as a television? As they listen to the news and the music, the talk shows, as they tune in the radios, or read the articles in the newspapers, the magazines, and as you do these things, you're being influenced. It's pumping into your brain, your record's turning, and you never forget a lot of things that you see. There's something I want to tell you, that in the old days when all you had was newspapers and magazines, there's something about reading about an atrocity such as murder or even the abuse of a woman or a man in an assault. And you read about, that's just terrible. But put that same influence into your eyes and before your face, and you watch this person being slaughtered. You watch this person being molested or torn to shreds by somebody, that perpetrator. You never forget what you saw. I don't believe anybody could look me in the eye today and say, well, you know what? These forms of entertainment are not they which have the power to influence me. Or people like me. Oh, yes, it does. And you know what happens today? People as a whole, they defend and they protect what it is that is influencing them. You hear people say things like, that's my iPad. Leave my tablet alone. Don't you touch my cell phone. Leave my computer. You turn that channel, I'll break your fingers. Unleashed within the power of influence lies a focus and a force that can result in either destroying you or causing your life to become the prey of the destroyer. I believe that's why it was God who in his word had holy men of old write these words. If any two shall agree, how shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Influence. I'm going to influence you. And what God wants to do is in our lives against everything, the billboards, the flashing signs, and all the media and the blasting and the newspaper stands and what we see in the magazine rack, God wants to influence us just as well. It was God who knew that if this power was to be that which overcame the negative influences of the destroyer, meaning Satan, then God would have to put it the positive influence or that power of influence into the hands of his people in order for us to combat the negative, the powers of Satan, so that people today can truly become more than conquerors through Christ. I felt an influence a couple of days, the first of this past week, late into the evening, and it was crushing, and it was speaking into my mind, and it began to make me feel overwhelmed, and I couldn't sleep, and I was tossing and turning. And then it was on the second night I laid there, and it came back into my room. I don't know if I'm talking to any of you today. It came back into my room, and it began to talk to me again, and it began to make me feel just like just the powers of darkness come upon me, and a scripture popped into my mind. And so what did I do? I read that scripture out loud in my mind. It was already in my heart. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You can try to influence me and pull me down into that pit of despair and anxiety and depression, but God has that power to grab me through his word and put me back up on that rock and help me through the power of influence to tear down principality and powers. It was Satan who chose to use the influential force against God's creation in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, as it was he who understood the literal impact that would not only be upon them, but upon the lives of every individual, up to and including to we in this present generation. Yea, hath God said, you can eat of it. Oh, it's just going to affect Adam and Eve. Oh no, when they were cast from the garden, by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. And today, as it was back in the garden, it was the devil whose hope, who with this force of the power of influence was he that in these end times would lead, if it were possible, we as humanity and the likes of God's people as far away from our Creator as he could. I'm going to take it from their hearts. I'm going to remove it from the schools. I'm going to take it from their homes. I'm going to have them not talk about it in the playground. I'm not going to have them sit and have a family altar in their houses. I'm going to cause people to want to be entertained as opposed to preached to in churches. And Satan, in his bid to destroy mankind through the power of influence, has blinded the minds of people when it comes to their understanding of the need of being reconciled with their God, meaning a vast majority of people today are they who don't respect God and they balk at authority of every form. What I'm telling you this afternoon in the message I want to get across to you today, saints of God and friends today, is this, is none other than for you to fully begin to comprehend and the fact that influence and the power of influence that is that which equals control. Influence is what carries weight. Influence is that which has the authority within it. And if it's we, or maybe if it's you, as an individual or as a child of God who do not learn to discern what kind of influences that you're being led by, then as an individual you can face the possibility of being influenced right into the mouth of a hot, burning place called hell. As a child of God, if you don't take the time to consider the same, what am I allowing to influence my life? What's talking to my mind? What's going through the little iPod, little doodads in my ears? I'm walking down the street. What's coming into my heart? What magazines are I looking and trying to look like what they look like and be what they want to be like? And that same power that remains that Satan uses, he'll use it to destroy you, to see to it that the likes of God's children and their lives are going to pattern those that who live outside of God's will. And that same facing time of judgment, what did you allow in to influence you away? Influence is what sways and manipulates, and it's that which impacts the lives of those who come under the hopes of influence who and what it is that you claim to be for God. For good or bad, it's going to be influence that's going to win you over. You get the people and you come to church and some of the guys want to sit around, talk and play and chat, and others are getting down to pray. Others want to be late for church or not come in during prayer time and maybe not get involved in the songs. And so you look at somebody who's next to you and you're thinking, they're not worshiping, they're not praying, I best not, I'll stand out. They're influencing you. One more time, influence is what inspires. influence what changes and has the ability to shape the thoughts of both the heart and the mind. And the clarion call that rises before us, ladies and gentlemen, this 21st century, is for us to do all that we can do within that scope of the power of influence to seek to release souls who, as plight, as humanity as a whole, become caught up in a snare. A lie of the devil, which not only influences them in their lives, but takes them away from God. And these lies that rest in the hearts of many today who live under this evil influence will be they in the end to become the ones to possibly regret the fact that they misunderstood in their lives what it was that they were being guided by. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the second coming of the Son of Man. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark. Today in our world, what are we doing? We're doing that same thing. Influences. Hey, party, have fun, go do what you want to do, live in that pleasure and just get filled with it. And, you know, don't worry about church and never mind God. You got to live where you got an opportunity to live. And influence pulls us out into that darkening world and the music today and the philosophies of today. All right, grab a hold of the heart of people. And that's why it's no secret in these last days that Satan is not holding back any punches in his bid to destroy all who fall into the hands of that being prey. This is the reason why I believe that not just the church in general, but every pastor and every preacher and every evangelist and Sunday school and Bible teacher, every saint of God must now more than ever before seek to use the power of influencing of God that we have in our possession through that Spirit of God in our bid to do everything we can do to try to reach our lost and our dying world, pulling them from the midst of the fiery lies of the influence that hangs on to them. I want to influence you for good. I want to influence you to live for God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 12, how that we don't wrestle against, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, that's why it's we who possess that power of influence from God, who then can call upon and who can use God's Spirit within us against the devil, as it's through that power of the Holy Ghost and by that help of God that we as a church can seek to redirect the impact of Satan's use of that force, that power of influence that destroys. Well, it's God who through us who can turn that power of influence and steer the hearts and minds of people in our world to influence back towards their only hope. Ladies and gentlemen, their only hope is nothing other than God. Psalms chapter 9 verse 17 says, the wicked will be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. I got to influence them back. The world is growing darker. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me. The church is going to grow brighter. We're going to become that beacon in the night. We need to be that influence in our jobs and in our homes and in our communities, in public, in private. Everything about our lives needs to be that influence from God, going against the status quo, going against what the world says. We're living in a world where the power of that evil influence is at work, as I've already said, starting in the realm of the elementary, the junior high school students, causing both children and young people to be influenced to use drugs, to drink, to smoke, to become involved in things that they continue in them. In the end, it will be their souls for all eternity that he, Satan, through this power of influence, will have destroyed. The pharmaceutical world has never been so rich. People have never needed psychologists, psychiatrists, and rehab centers and getaway places because of the influences of the world. It started years ago when I was just a boy. We heard about the Marble Man, but we never heard about the cancer of the lungs and cirrhosis of the liver. You heard about Mr. Bud the Wiser, and he would propagate that beer, and people, well, I want to get a Budweiser. No, you better be wiser than Bud. The question that comes to mind, I really say, should be that which should be coming to your mind, is the question of how is it that we as a church and as a people who desire to live our lives for God stop or even hope to stop the effect of Satan's power of influence. The influence he has upon that of our generation. I'll tell you how, by our using that same power of influence in our bid to reclaim them. I'm going to influence you back instead of you influencing me away. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Verse 4 says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'm influenced by God. I'm influenced by His Spirit. From the beginning, it was God who knew ever since the time of the birth of the church until now in the 21st century. It is, and it's been this power of influence that has been which shaped the lives of men, women, and boys and girls. Because of the fall and because of Satan's misuse of the power of influence, before us today, the power of influence has resulted in men and women, boys and girls, having to spend their lives behind bars. The power of influence, the weapon that is and has been used, is not just to affect, but to seek to destroy and to steer humanity as a whole as far away from God as he can get him. And that's why I stand before you this afternoon to declare how that the time has come for we as a people of God and concerns to you as a soul, one that's in searching of God, the need to be the one to allow the influence of God into your life as well as the lives of those you touch in your world of influence. I can't go to the elementary school and walk amongst the kids and tell them, you need to give your life to God. Why don't we start a class prayer meeting? I'd be in jail so fast my head would spin. I can't go to the senior schools where the grade 8 through 12 and stand there as a 59-year-old geezer and get in there and try to influence young people to want to live for God, to come to church. You can. I can't influence your friends. You can. I can't influence those in your world. You can. And this, my friend, starts by you, for those of you that are here today, to refuse to be the ones to succumb to that untoward power of the devil's influence that is before us. I believe that God's looking for those of us in the end times, it's a people whose heart and whose desire is to be influenced by Him. As a result of your being here this day, and as a result of you in your life searching the will of God for your life, I believe that God's found us. Listen to this, as young people in the school system, instead of conforming to this world, their ways, their mode of dress, their bad mouths, their wrongful set influence and desires, it's you who needs to be as a child of God who instead seeks to reform them and to influence them to your way. Hey, how come you wear dresses? Your reply should be, you don't. I notice you don't cut your hair. Your reply should be, I don't cut it because God says I'm not supposed to. What do you mean you don't drink, you don't smoke? Come on, you don't even swear? What's wrong with you? Your reply is simply this, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to allow God's influences to be upon my life. And the truth is, God wants His influence to be upon you too. When the question is asked, why do you or maybe we give in to the wrong influence. Hear me now. The main reason is because instead of allowing God and His influences to be that which influences your or our lives, you conform, you cave. You and your life choose not to stand against the influences before you in your world. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to look different. I want to look like them. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't want to fit in. They need to feel fitting out. And I want to be like you to fit in. The power of influence, I want you to know, is both used subtly as well as deliberately with the intent. But whenever the power of influence is used positively or negatively, the results are usually quite effective. I can affect you positively or negatively. The power of influence at times is known as the silent witness. Inwardly it is possessed, but it's shown as the power of influence is what manifests outwardly through your behaviors, your conduct, the way you talk and the way you dress and act in and around your peers. The power of influence has the ability to silently affect others' perception of the type of person that you are. The silent witness is what carries before you the unspoken testimony of the type of character, the caliber of a person that people themselves will come to conclude what you truly are. There goes a Christian. She's a Christian. They are Christians. That's why at home, on the job, in view of the public, you're being watched, you're being evaluated by those that are around you in the realm of every aspect of your life. As that power of influence, yours, shall I say, is what will be, what will assist you or what will help you to be able to affect those in that realm of your personal influence. It's got to be you. Not just me. It's got to be us. We as a force in that same power, under the guise and that Spirit of God, influence them. And as we influence them for God, then your manifesto, you can say, or your gathering, the people that follow you, the people that get a hold of what you got a hold of. I was never so shocked. And I can see it in my lifetime. They had a group of young people, and I know this is what people maybe would call the Bible Belt or whatever, but down in the southern states, about 10 or 15 kids from the church that went down to the local hangout. The kids would all drive their cars, and all the cars would be in the parking lot, and people would be sitting out there, maybe some drinking, having a few cigarettes, whatever. And this group of kids, about 12 or 15 from the church, decided they were going to go down and influence anybody that they could. And they went down to this parking lot. The next thing you know, people are receiving the Holy Ghost. People are falling out under the power of God, and they're going, I want this, and I'm being influenced. And they turned what was into a worldly endeavor into a spiritual one. And at the altar that next weekend, and then the baptism a tank where the waters were troubled. It was a power of influence that took a bunch of young people from a world of destruction to that world of grace. That's why there's such an importance in what it is you do, how it is you act, where it is you go, and how you take it is, how you take a stand as a person of integrity, as you claim that status of godliness in the realm of religious circles. Because as you say, you know what, excuse me, I'm a Christian. That power of influence is unleashed in the realm of that silent witness. It's one that will speak on your behalf greater volumes for or against you more than your own spoken words. I'm talking to you this afternoon about the power of influence. The Bible. In the Bible, it was both Judas and Demas who decided to succumb to the wrong influences, and by doing so, they lost out with God. And it was the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, in who their lives, they chose to stay under God's influence And by doing so, it was they who not only affected the world, but it was because of Peter and Paul succumbing to the power of the influence under the banner of God that we in the 21st century can now enjoy the New Testament Bible, that Holy Ghost dispensation that we as a church want to stand firmly upon. My roots go back to Pentecost. My roots go back in the Bible. When it comes to both this world as well, it comes to God and the things of God. It is said like this, as far as a power of influence is concerned, yours or theirs. Either you're going to be the one to influence them, or they're going to be ones to influence you. It's been over the last 36 and a half years that I personally, time and time again, have witnessed this power, the power of influence, both at work for the good and bad. What I've also witnessed is how that he or they who carry the greatest influence in any situation is the one who's going to be able to sway and have that greater effect upon those that this influence is used upon. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. You do this through peer pressure, through the desire to belong, the result of wanting to be accepted by others, the power of influence when used along with the power of persuasion, what carries within it the potential to carry enough weight and authority that that power will manipulate and will set and become what seals the status, the destiny of any soul that this power is used upon. That's why in services like this, it's such a beautiful thing that when the Holy Ghost begins to flow, instead of sitting on it, we're starting to get used to it and want to move in it. And we step into that realm. And you know what happens? God speaks. And you know what happens? Chains fall. You know what happens? Desires are met and decisions are made. I'm moving ahead with God. I'm taking this power to my world. In this service today, I believe that God can heal you. Amen. You can be filled or refilled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In concerns the power of influence, it is you. If you're not interested, maybe, in attaining any one of these things in this service, I just want to come, I want to sing, I want to hear the message, I want to go home. Please don't rub off on me. Because when God begins to move and that power of God begins to move, I want to move with it. It's just like that pillar in that cloud. I want to move with it. When God starts flowing, the Holy Ghost starts moving, that Spirit of God starts falling, I want to lift up my hands. I want to feel that blessing of God. I want to have that Holy Ghost Shekinah glory in my life. I want God to touch me. We sing that song, He Touched Me. And I'm looking for this to happen again. I don't believe that God, you know, He respects people and old or young. It's the desire that really pulls it. I'll never, ever, for as long as I live, to the day I die, I'll never forget when we, as just about a group of four men, went to the church to pray. Do you want to go pray? What? Let's go to Dairy Queen. What do you mean, pray? I went, oh, yeah, I'll come pray. And so four of us, we gathered at the church and we were praying. And the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, sometimes you just got to be into it. Just let your mind, when God starts moving, say, God, pick me. And the Holy Ghost was flowing. The power of God was just moving. It was beautiful. It was just magnificent. And I was laying out and the Holy Ghost on the floor, his face down, had my hand like this. And it felt like somebody came up and put a hand on me. And my little carnal mind thought, why are you praying for me? I'm so full of God. I don't need you to come and pray for me. Just pray for yourself. And you know what? Along comes that curiosity that kills the kitty. And this hand just lifted off. I wanted to see who's coming to pray for me. I opened my eyes, ladies and gentlemen, and each one of the men were still in their four corners. I'll tell you what, I had the Holy Ghost just went up down my backbone. I had a Holy Ghost hold down. That was an influence I like. God touched me. If you can leave a service and say, God touched me, God healed me, I feel better than I did when I walked in the door. God influenced me. Lord, and my brothers and sisters, as we gather together and we pray together in that power of influence, oh. Decision time. How do I want to go home today? What is the influence I want in my life? Let's stand together. I wonder. comes to flow right here. God, don't get up and walk out of here. For two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst. I want you to touch me. I need that healing. Oh,